from the waiting room in the office of Herbie the Dentist at the North Pole, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour, Christmas Edition. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling with your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, musician, writer, inventor, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a right jolly old elf, Richard J. Ringhausen. And marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time World Welterweight Alligator Wrestling Champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who tells Santa the way it is. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan Kringlehausen.
Yay! Can I start off with something that has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas?
Well, sure. Christmas episode, that's exactly how you should start.
Okay, the other day I went to the dentist, right? Since you mentioned the dentist, I want to be a dentist. There was something bad about the way you said dentist. But I'm at the dentist. I'm sitting in a chair waiting, right? In the dentist chair. And they get you in there. They bib you up. And then they all just disappear. Anyway, I'm
did you have to go get someone then? Were they all like drinking in the back room? Yeah,
probably. These guys should get together. You know, you'll have like a dental office. You might have a couple of dentists, you know, sharing the same office. The guys are all wrong. They got the formula wrong. They should have a dentist, an optometrist, and an audiologist, and a barber, all in the same building.
Because you're sitting in the chair.
Same chairs. You know, they could, you know, either go from room to room, or they rotate and come into, you know.
You just need one chair.
Okay, teeth all done here. Next, and then they bring in the audiologist. He does his little test. And then they raise the chair up, and you look at the eye chart. And then while you're still sitting there, they bring in the barber, and he trims you up while you're there. Can't they do that?
Fix all your superficial problems at the same time.
Exactly.
There's probably a market for that. You should open it.
I think they do that in Russia.
And fix your hair, too.
Whether you like it or not.
Like a hairdresser.
And everybody gets the same treatment. Yeah. It's more equal this way. Yes, yes, it's more equal that way. Who says that?
I don't know.
Yes, yes, it's more equal.
I do not know the answer to that.
It's more just. It's Dr. Zhivago, after they took away their extravagant home and moved 10 other families into it.
I was driving my dad today, right? He was in the car, and he starts talking about Dr. Zhivago.
Dad was talking about Dr. Zhivago?
He was, today.
Why was he talking about Dr. Zhivago?
I can't remember, because I really wasn't paying that much attention to him. But what struck me was that I've never...
That right there is your problem, Rick. You didn't listen to your father growing up.
I've never watched
You
Dr.
might have
Zhivago.
Amounted to something.
Never watched Dr. Zhivago.
You've never watched Dr. Zhivago? It's actually never. A terrific film.
It's one of those films where you just watch it and watch it and watch it. And after you think you had all of it you can possibly stand, it puts up a card that says intermission.
Oh, yeah. You know you're watching a long movie if they have that. Like there's that. Ben-Hur has that. And I wanted to say... Does Jeremiah Johnson have?
2001 Space Odyssey has it.
Oh, man. I think they stopped that and changed the music just to wake you back up.
What movie was I watching that had one of those? It was a movie with Warren Beatty, Reds, about the Russian Revolution.
Oh, I bet that's got a, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember,
interlude.
I remember going to that, you know, and I didn't know anything about it, but the girl I was dating was pretentiously arty at the time and wanted to see this movie, you know, and we go watch it, and, you know, and you're just slogging through it, and it's just, oh, God. Finally, it reaches, you know, some sort of climax.
I never knew that Sue was pretentiously arty at any time in her life.
Well, maybe it wasn't Sue. Any event, it gets to where you go, thank God.
You've just ruined Christmas, Rick.
And then it flashes up a sign, intermission. Like, oh, my God. How long is this going to last?
That's indicating halfway.
It's lasted longer than the actual Soviet Union lasted.
You, in the intro,
yeah,
played a snippet from The Nutcracker.
Yeah,
Have you ever gone and seen The Nutcracker?
Your daughter was in it like two or three times.
No, I saw that three times
with your daughter in.
That's not the full Nutcracker, though. The ones that you attended were like abbreviated versions of it. And there are more segments to it than what you have seen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's longer than you might think.
I saw the Disney, like... on Fantasia, didn't they do a segment of The Nutcracker?
What I'm saying is, if you go to like a professional ballet company's Nutcracker, be prepared to, you know, you're going to need some caffeine before you go in there.
Isn't your wife going to that tonight? Wasn't that her calling from intermission?
Yeah.
Did you say
on here on Christmas Day, Rick? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Did you say? My Christmas gift was that I didn't have to go to the Nutcracker.
Thank you. Oh, God, thank you.
Your kids got old enough that they're not in it, so you don't have to
go to
any
productions of the Nutcracker. Well, the thing was, you went to all these productions of your kids who were in dance programs and were in the Nutcracker, and you're thinking, oh, my God, it'll be great when they get older and they're in a better part and stuff like that. And it doesn't get any better. You know, it's still the same show. And then... In addition to seeing that, then you have to take them to a professional version of it, you know, some expensive version of it, and then set through that, and it's twice as long as the little abbreviated versions that you're getting. I do like the Russian dance. Those are pretty good.
Well, I grant you that.
Where they, you know, squat down with their arms crossed and kick their feet out in front, you know.
Now, when you went and saw that, I mean, I know that you talked us into going to it, right?
Yeah.
Which was fine. I enjoyed going to the thing. But what I kept thinking was, I kept thinking of like mom and dad going, come on, boys, we're going to Rick's piano recital.
Uh-huh. Went to those. And to say, can't we just stay home while you take Rick to that? Yeah, it didn't work.
But you guys are only six. No, you can't stay home.
Mercy.
You're going to make us sit through a piano recital. And, of course, Rick never graduated beyond like the most simple basic levels of playing the piano. I mean, I never practiced or anything, so I never got better. So that meant that when you went, my part was going to be like 30 seconds long, and then you're going to sit through an hour and a half of the rest.
Because you couldn't just get up and walk
other
out.
Other kids playing the piano.
Well, the beauty of that, though, is some of them were pretty good.
And, you know, here's the thing. It got better and better and better.
Now, see, here's the weird part about it is then you have a daughter who could play the piano and could play it beautifully and then didn't want to do it in front of people.
Yeah, I never got that.
Man, if I could play a piano that good, yeah, I'd be, you know, like you go through a mall where they have like a grand piano out in the mall in the middle of some, you know, shopping center, sit down and just start playing it.
You know, what I remember
Why wouldn't you?
What I remember, going back to playing the piano, right, when I first started doing that, I remember mom and dad, or mom, like, talking about, you know, if you learn to play the piano, you'll be able to, like, go to a party. The guys who could sit down and play the piano when you go to a party, they're, like, the most popular person there.
You know, you're just immediately labeled a geek. Look at this dork in the corner playing piano.
I remember there's one episode of Leave It to Beaver where there's some shy kid and they go to a party and he sits down and starts playing the piano and everyone dances around and they're all patting him on the back and everything.
Same thing happened on Andy Griffith.
What a lie that is.
Right. the biggest issue about you taking piano lessons, you know, I could care less, and going to the recitals, you know, we toughed it out. The biggest issue, the biggest fear was that they were going to try and get me to do it.
You know what would be great for
I
you,
wouldn't
Alan?
Have any of that.
Clarinet lessons.
Uh-huh. Phew, God.
Hey, before we go any further, I got a commercial.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. It doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, but we'll get to Christmas in a bit, maybe. Okay, folks, how many times have you opened up the bread basket only to find the last two slices of bread covered with long myocelical starlons of black bread mold? You open up the fridge and discover that your favorite cheese has also grown a mold beard. Soon you find yourself throwing out bag after bag of spoiled meats, cheeses, and fruits from your fridge. What a waste. Well, no more. Get the most out of your slightly spoiled consumables with Dr. Ferd's Second Life Food Razor. That's right. It's Dr. Ferd to the rescue. His patented food razor has three floating heads, a dual-speed rechargeable electrical motor, and triple-strength titanium-coated steel blades. Simply take the adulterated slice of meat, cheese, or bread and run the food razor across its surface, whisking away the nasty mold. Now you can sink your teeth into a sandwich without worrying about getting unwanted mold spores stuck in your gum line. Dr. Ferd's Second Life Food Razor, perfect Christmas gift. Get yours today.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. You know, the other night, the wife and I, you know, were flipping through TV channels, you know, deciding what to, and came across The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yeah, cartoon version or Jim Carrey?
The cartoon version, please. And, said, let's watch, you know, immediately she's like, let's watch The Grinch.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, you could watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas any day of the year, 365 days out of the year. You could watch it if you wanted.
That is correct.
And it's kind of taken some of the magic away from when you were a kid, and it was only going to play one time
and
that
if, and
year.
And if you missed it the next day at school,
you had nothing
man,
to talk about.
Talked about The Grinch. Shout out to Grinch.
Well, I saw it last year.
It's better this year.
Yeah. And when they were trying to fit that into TV, if they had, you know, more commercials, they'd cut little pieces out.
I know, but you watch it now, you get the whole thing.
You get the whole thing.
You get all the Grinch.
Get the whole song. You know, even the sauerkraut sandwich line, right. You know, that they'll cut out routinely.
Okay. Almost unrelated to nothing. You're talking about sitting watching that with your wife, right?
Yeah.
Sue and I go through this routine of, let's watch a movie tonight. And,
Animal House.
Then we'll look through, like 100 movies before finally maybe settling on one. Uh-huh. Or maybe one of us just walking out and the other one watching a movie. And then we're flipping through things. She says, you want to watch Dodgeball?
What?
Do I want to watch Dodgeball? Are you kidding me? What's going on here? We watch Dodgeball.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Exactly. But I mean,
I was ripped torn in that. They had a weird group of people
that
in that
movie. A bizarre collection of people. But I mean, you know, whenever your wife suggests something like that, you got to be thinking, what am I going to have to go to the Nutcracker now?
Yeah. Well, okay. There's payback coming. So
there's a quid pro quo.
Yeah,
coming here.
We're going to have to watch a Meryl Streep movie.
I watched one
She's
of them.
She's still alive, right?
Yeah. Talking about that archy, pretentious girl that I dated in law school, I had to go watch The French Lieutenant's Woman.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. It was just awful. Gallipoli. I had to watch Gallipoli. I had to watch Breaker Morant. Can you imagine me going to this stuff? Yeah, it was just too horrible. Okay. Going on to Christmas now. Do you go to a mall?
Wait a minute.
What?
Was going to these artsy girl movies, was it paying off? I mean, is that, you named off several that you went to.
I didn't.
Was it just wishful thinking, or
Pretty much. That's okay. The way it played. I ended up dumping her.
Surely there's going to be a payoff here.
Actually, she dumped me. She decided that I was...
He doesn't appreciate art.
She decided that I was... could not be repaired. Okay. That there was no hope.
This guy must be from the Midwest.
Okay. Christmas. Do you go to a mall to shop anymore?
I don't know that anybody does.
Assuming...
I take that back. I was recently in California, and the largest shopping... Oldest daughter lives like a block from the largest shopping mall, I think, in America now.
Definitely that's in Minnesota, but go ahead.
I think that closed down.
Mall of America did not close down.
Oh, I think it's been modified. Anyway, the largest west of the Mississippi, West Coast.
All right.
And it was absolutely packed.
You know, before you go any further.
I mean, packed.
When I just interrupted you like that. That was the same reaction I got from that cab driver in London when I told him that his building wasn't really the tallest.
Oh, we were talking about the needle?
Yeah.
He was offended. He was a lot more angry than it. But see, I don't take ownership of that mall. He was taking ownership of the needle.
Like he built it.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead with the mall story. But it was
packed.
And it was going.
Yeah.
You know, I went to a mall in Floridia, right? And
is that like another planet?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And so Sue and I decide we're going to go into this mall. We go into it. It's booming. It's not like you go to a mall where half the buildings are like plywooded up.
Let's talk about there's a town in southern Illinois called Alton. And it has a shopping mall called Alton Square.
And it's like all just boarded up.
Nothing
stores.
Left.
Yeah, I think there was like an Olga's and a Kuka store, and they both just left. I don't know what's still in there. But it's so strange now that most malls are like that. It's rare that you go to a mall that doesn't have like a bunch of boarded up stores.
They're either super popular or they're close to abandonment.
Yeah. And when I say boarded up, they'll be closed, but they'll have like painted the scenes of some scene of the city, like you just came to look at the art.
Or that, like, if you're walking through there, you won't notice that there aren't any stores in that area.
Yeah, exactly. That the lights aren't as bright and it's a little colder.
Right.
Okay, my question is, so you're doing shopping online.
Yeah.
Shopping online, you know, it's so easy now, you know.
It's easy.
I mean, like,
but you're not 100% sure you're getting what you're looking at.
Okay. That's exactly where I'm going with this. You know, I see some doodad, you know, that I'm going to get a doodad for one of my siblings, let's say. So I say, oh, this is an interesting thing. I think I'm going to get this. And it's, you know, it's nothing more than a couple bucks worth of plastic, right? So I order the thing and email, ding. Your purchase is delayed.
Uh-oh.
All right. And then, ding, you can track your purchase here. So I click the button just out of curiosity to see where it's at. And it says that it's in customs in Hungary.
Ah, there you go.
It's just a little plastic doodad, and it's coming from Hungary, and it's held up in customs?
Right. Cancel. Don't want it that bad.
I just can't hardly imagine. And, you know, plus it's going to come in a box and it's going to have a thing saying $5 plus $25 tariff.
Right. Yeah. The other thing is, you know, ordering online, you know, as opposed to being in a store and you got a tangible thing in your hand, and you're handing over money for something that you're walking away with. Whereas online, you know, you don't know when it's going to get there. You know, it's going to get hung up. Or if it's not available, or you're going to get scammed.
Oh.
And then plus, then, you know, your email gets clogged with so many offers then.
Plus, you have to then start looking at your credit card to see whether something else got charged
right.
to it. And whether you're going to have
some
to cancel.
Hungarians buying a house with it now.
Cancel your credit card, yeah, in Hungary. You know, and I just assume that most times when you buy some piece of junk online, it's coming from China. You know, and China knows how to ship their junk out to you toot sweet.
Yeah, they do.
You order something from China, man. I'm assuming some Chinese drone flies it across the ocean and drops it in your porch about 2 days later.
Right.
You know, you buy something from Hungary. Oh, good luck getting it past Hungarian customs.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume if you get a Christmas doodad from me, you get it in, like, in February.
All right, can I talk about something totally unrelated that I was wanting to talk about from the start of the show?
Yeah.
I was recently out in California.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it came out, where I saw it or whatever, but I see this ad that says, the largest flea market on the West Coast is in not too far from where I'm staying. And so I said, and it's only once a month. And I said, Sarah, we got to go to this. She said, I was going to surprise you that we were going to go to that. She said, so let's go. And you know, which shocked me.
And after that, we're going to watch Dodgeball.
No. it was the flea market, or picker's market, or whatever they call it, swap meet at the Rose Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah, at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
Since Notre Dame wasn't playing.
Yeah, nobody's playing.
Rose Bowl was open.
But it's not actually, you know, like on the football field of the Rose Bowl. It's the entire parking lot all the way around the Rose Bowl. It was unbelievable.
So were there junk there?
No, oh, tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of junk.
Did you come home with some junk?
Well, that's the problem. You go to, you know, like a swap meet. When you're far from home,
like if you
that's problematic.
That's a great suit of armor.
Look at this sofa.
You think if you bought a suit of armor, they'd let you wear it on an airplane?
I don't know. If you,
suit of armor, you know, you're not carrying weapons or nothing. It's not like you got a mace with it or an axe or, you know, a broad axe.
I wonder what the limits are on what you can wear. Like if I showed up at the airport wearing a gorilla suit, would they let me on?
Gorilla suit? Without the head. They'd probably say, you got to show your face.
Yeah, but, you know, like people get on the airplane wearing, you know, masks, you know, and stuff. True. So, you know, and it's just at the check-in that they have to uncover their face and show their face so that it matches their ID.
And they immediately say, put your mask back on.
Yeah. Why couldn't you do that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Or what if I was wearing a Halloween costume?
Or suit armor.
Or what if I got on just a pair of swimming trunks? Speedo. Guarantee nobody's sitting next to you.
Code 13.
I've checked all my luggage. I'm more comfortable this way.
And do you have to wear a shirt on an airplane?
I don't know.
I'll bet the answer to that is yes. I bet you have to wear a shirt. No, but you have to wear shoes.
I don't know what the minimum is.
The least amount of clothing you can wear on an airplane.
Okay. What if
I think
you got on the airplane?
Alan, it depends on what you look like.
Yeah, I agree with that. What if I got on the airplane and then while we're up in the sky, go into the bathroom and strip down to just my swimming trunks and come back out? Woo! I was so hot. No, you're not.
You're going to have an air marshal wrestle you to the floor.
You think? Pretty quick?
Yeah. You're going to be hogtied and
in the cargo bin.
Put back in the cargo bin. That's exactly right. I think they've got a little storage area that could stuff you if they needed to.
Yeah, but I don't know. We need to look into this. What are the rules of decorum
what you can wear
on an airplane?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, what if I came in all camouflage and, you know, even with my face painted, you know, and stuff? Well, I'm on a big hunting trip, you know, I mean, you could rationalize it. I'm going to Montana on an elk hunt and I won't have time to change.
Go online and look up, just type in, what does a bomber look like? And whatever it shows you, dress like that.
A bomber?
Yeah.
A bomber.
A terrorist.
A terrorist.
What does your average terrorist look like?
Like what your mindset of what a terrorist might be like.
And then dress just like that.
Okay. Well, have you seen the movie Team America?
Yes.
They have their concept of what a terrorist looks like. Of course, that's the South Park guys. They're pretty sick.
Indeed.
But the Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, Rose Bowl,
yep,
is one of the 10 largest stadiums in the United States of America.
Yep.
Do you know how old the Rose Bowl is?
It's old.
It was built in 1922. It's over 100 years old.
I think it's mostly bleachers, isn't it?
I didn't go inside. They wouldn't let me in because I looked too much like a terrorist.
Showed up with your camo and dressed like Pancho Villa.
Actually, there were quite a few people there dressed like Pancho Villa. Let me tell you something. The people who go to these swap meets and flea markets, they're a pretty wild bunch.
You know, I was thinking, you just made me think, you remember when you came down to Floridia?
Yeah, that was a good one down there.
Soon I went to that looking for something. I can't remember what caused us to go back to that flea market. And in the very back, the farthest back of the junkiest part of the place.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, but there's one guy back there.
Oh, I know what you're talking. You're talking about the Nazi.
The Nazi guy.
That guy. You know, there's... It's questionable whether he should be allowed in there.
Yeah.
He escaped.
You got to think there's not a lot of standard.
No. He was a bad man, I think.
Just to go back... He had
a lot of Nazi paraphernalia.
Well, yeah, but when you first go in, you just see like strange and odd things. There's like one shelf of strange and odd things, and you're like going in.
This is pretty cool.
And you're like, and the guy comes over here, and he's got like a beard and scraggly looking at everything, but you know.
He's been living in Brazil for a while, Rick.
So, you know, you're bartering with this guy trying to work out a deal on whatever piece of junk he was trying to sell you. So I'm going to wander around. And as I'm wandering around, I start looking at stuff on the walls. It's like Mein Kampf, you know, copies of Hitler's biography. And I look through a stack of pictures, and they're all like, you know, Hitler and Goering and Goebbels, you know, like a whole bunch of them. You know, I'm like, oh, my God. We need to not be in here, you know, and you're over there. I'm like, Alan, hey, Alan.
I thought I was bargaining on a knife or something.
I think so, you know. Right. And you're like, well, stop bothering me. Alan, why don't you come over here? Take a break for a second. Come over here. And
we need
around.
To rethink
you
know, this.
Just come around and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Time to go.
Yeah, okay. We need to, yeah. But that was an interesting flea market other than that. Creepy guy. And that was a big one. Is that the biggest one in Florida?
Pretty big.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how often that one changes. I mean, that's kind of like permanent stalls and stuff like that. This other one that I went to, they bring their stuff in for the day and set it up and then leave. You know, it's an empty parking lot. But plus, they have to be out there by New Year's.
Get out. We got a football game coming.
They had the bleachers already set up for...
The parade?
The Rose Bowl Parade. Tournament of Roses Parade. Do they call it the Rose Bowl Parade or do they call it...
Tournament of Roses.
Tournament of Roses Parade?
Why, I don't know. Once you've seen it, do you feel the need to see it again?
Never. I barely watched it on TV. You know, 5 minutes, whatever.
Okay, yeah, that's Rose Bowl Parade.
If you live close, maybe.
You might lean out the window and look, hey, parade's going by.
You're probably cursing it because it's messing up traffic patterns.
How about Macy's Day Parade? See the big balloons?
Zero desire.
Really? You wouldn't want to see the big balloons? The big balloons?
No.
You know, you go watch the field where they blow them up.
When you say blow them up.
Not like a terrorist.
You mean inflate them?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if they had another field where they were blowing them up, I'd go to that.
They got to be helium. Aren't they blowing them up with helium? Inflating them with helium?
Helium for hot air. Hot air wouldn't stay afloat, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. Plus, it's cold a lot of times.
I like seeing when there's big winds and they have to fight with them and stuff.
Around.
Need extra handlers. Yeah.
I think they've got to where if it gets windy at all, they just
tie them off someplace,
no balloons,
don't they?
No balloons this year.
Right. Anyway, whatever. No desire for that.
So it's Christmas Day today.
Yeah.
Christmas Day. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
And I got all of my children are here today for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm irrelevant to them, but they're here anyway.
Do you think they'll talk to you?
Now, have you reached the point in your life?
So the whole family's here and you and I are sitting in the basement doing a podcast?
Yeah, that's right. My question is, have you reached the stage of your life when the kids ask, what do you want for Christmas? That you go, nothing. I don't need nothing.
I can't think of anything.
Don't even waste your time.
Give me something I can eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the immediate satisfaction.
I think about like when we were kids and we went to Granny and Grandpa Ringhausen's, right?
Yeah, they get like 20 boxes of chocolate.
We'd do gift exchange there. And, I think they did, you'd draw names, you know, just have, since you only had to buy for one other kid because there were like 20 or 30 of them.
Right, just a little kid cousin exchange, right.
But you'd always get something for Granny and Grandpa.
Yeah.
And it was always candy.
Yeah.
They'd finish the gift exchange.
And they never complained.
Granny and Grandpa would be sitting there with a big bunch of candy and cookies on both sides of them. And I think they're just happy as clams.
Well, and Granny was in attack mode.
Granny could eat candy.
She would eat it all.
So as far as your kids are concerned, if they just say, bring in a box of chocolate truffles.
Well done, kids. Good job. Kids.
As opposed to, Dad, we're getting you a new shirt. We think you're not dressing well. We'd like to see you dress a little better.
Rick, they've told me that all my life.
Okay, if you reach a stage where
Dad, can you drop me off around the corner?
That was when they were in grade school.
No, they still say that.
Now, what about your wife?
Did it bother you to embarrass your children?
Oh, no, it still doesn't. Obviously, I'm doing a podcast talking about them. Right. Your kids know.
Do you embarrass your wife?
How can you even ask that?
Okay.
Now, did you get Sarah something really nice for something really nice?
Box of candy.
Box of candy. And she's happy with that. You don't buy her clothes.
If it's the right candy.
Have you bought your wife clothes for Christmas?
Not since that first year. That came to a screeching halt.
I remember Dad telling a story. Like when he was dating Mom, right?
Yeah, and he bought her a dress or a muumuu or something.
He prowled around with the Miller family,
right?
And they took him to Mexico.
Yeah,
and he bought Mom like a dress that was just like big flowers, you know?
Right.
And his notion as to what a woman would like to wear in the 50s. Right.
I'd like to see you in this.
And growing up, I can't remember Mom ever wearing that dress.
Hey, Mom, break out the Mexican dress again. You know, for their 70th anniversary, she should put it on.
She should.
Yeah.
We should drag it out of the closet for her. I'm sure it's there. I don't think anything's been thrown away in
that
house.
I think it'd make Dad real happy.
It's about time you wore it.
The thing is, though, she shrunk so much it would drag the ground, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. That or we're just getting taller. I like to approach it that way.
That we're getting
Mom.
Taller?
And I'm around Mom, yeah, that we're getting taller. That,
Rick, that's been my life's dream, that I'm getting taller. Oh, my gosh.
At that time.
Yeah, and they're getting a Christmas bonus here.
More for your money.
That's their gift. This is our gift
from the
to the listeners.
Brothers. All right. Well, Merry Christmas and see you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Merry Christmas!